clubhouse chatter at the conclusion of the opening week of the season. Getting ready for weekend number two, Jacksonville back at home 4-0 and hosting the Troy Trojans starting on Friday night. Joined now by head coach Chris Hayes. And coach, well, simply put, it was a good opening week. Managed to win all four games played in either breaking a tie or come from behind fashion late in all those games as well, and very early on. But I think we were able to see a lot of the some of the resiliency and toughness of this group in an early game, early season, I should say, setting.
Yeah, this is a great way for us to have started the 2022 season. We've won games in multiple ways. We've outscored guys. I mean, we've outscored every team, but we've really put some pressure on some teams from an offensive standpoint. But then we've also played a very traditional Dolphin baseball. We played really good defense and pitched extremely well, executed on offense, and we're in a good place. I mean, we've still got a lot of cleaning up to do. I tell the guys we got to tighten some things up here and there, but I'd much rather be in this position having to tighten things up than being on the flip side of this thing and trying to figure out which way's up. So we're trending in the right direction. We're in a good place right now, but we've got work to do this weekend.
Let's look back to the opening series against High Point. The Panthers come into town. We talked about it about a week ago on this program and how there would be a good sort of like-minded test, maybe an A-Sun level type opponent to get an early taste of things against. And they were a competitive group that came in and scrapped and fought to the very end in all three of those games. And to see really three, I don't want to call them completely unique type games, but we certainly saw Friday and Sunday more of a nip-tuck type action, whereas Saturday was more of a brute force bludgeoning, which is just who's going to score more runs than the other side.
Yep.
And what were you able to kind of gather from those first couple of games and how the guys handled themselves over the course of three in a series?
Well, I mean, starting a season with 21 new guys on the roster, you don't know. You want to believe, you know, but you really don't know how these guys are going to respond and when they get their opportunity, when the lights turn on. And the guys have answered the bell. There's been a ton of guys with opportunity. I mean, we've had 12 different guys get innings and get opportunities on the mound. And we've run through a lot of position players as well, giving guys opportunity. And that's the strength of this ball club, the versatility and the depth. We've got a lot of different guys that can do multiple things. And we've got a lot of quality arms that are going to get opportunities as long as they continue to pound the zone. And it's really refreshing to see how we can win different ball games and different styles. But to see how these new guys respond, and make the plays and come up with the big pitches and come up with the big at bats when it's time, it has been very encouraging. For us to have the nip and tuck on Friday and get a lead and hold a lead and turn it over to the bullpen and see, Bryce Fisher and Tyler Vogel just, take over the game at the end of the game on Friday night. And then for us to jump on them early Saturday and then come back, and we had to fight back from a deficit, and then it's 8-8 in the seventh, and you look up and it's 17-9 six outs later. And I was really pleased to see how the offense picked up the guys on the bump on Saturday. And then Sunday we jump on them early, get a two spot, and thinking that, okay, we're going to keep extending this thing. And they got a little chippy, they weren't willing to back down, which I wouldn't expect. And our guys had to figure out how to navigate that. And they ended up tying it up, and we ended up getting the job done toward the end of the game. And once again, Tyler Vogel comes in and cleans it up at the end. And he's off to a good start this season well. And, it was good to come out of that weekend. We got tested. We didn't play great. We played well enough, but we've still got it. We've got to continue to clean some things up and do things a little bit better.
Yeah, you mentioned Sunday got a little testy. There was at one point a warning issued to both dugouts from the home plate umpire. But, that is sort of, I don't want to say it's expected or the norm, but there will be moments later on in the season against some of these conference foes, maybe there's a little more at stake later on in the year where things will get to where guys are feeling themselves or talking a little bit more. I mean, to see this group, a lot of newcomers, as you mentioned, a lot of young guys, get a chance to respond positively in an environment like that should help this group going forward, right?
Absolutely. And it's game. This baseball is not a game that you can play 100% amped up. This isn't like football where you can just go run through a wall and actually run through a wall and be rewarded for it. Baseball is not that way. You've got to play at an even keel. You can't let the emotions get a hold of you too much. You want to play elevated, but you can't play at that super high heart rate, that super, super aggressive. You got to play with control. And you've got to keep your emotions in check, your thoughts in check, and slow the game down as much as you possibly can and stay in that moment. And we've seen that a little bit. Like, you know, Sunday was an example of that where it got chippy and maybe we got off of our game a little bit because it took us away from our concentration level. And then when we, you know, Tuesday night, whenever we played Florida State, the guys were so amped up. The crowd was electric, you know, and we got the number 10 team in the country coming in to John Sessions, and everybody's amped up. And Michael Darrell Hicks goes out, and he's absolutely carving for the first couple of innings, and it's exciting. And the guys got too elevated, and you could see it in the at-bats. Mm-hmm. You could see it in the way we were swinging it, uncharacteristically swinging at pitches a little bit out of our zone. We were putting them in play. We just weren't putting them in play with authority. Gave them a lot of easy outs early in the game. And I think we finally settled in a little bit mid-game and put together some much better at-bats throughout the night. But it's a good learning experience for us, is to figure out how can we play at the highest level without letting our emotions or our focus get out of check.
Yeah, but you mentioned Tuesday night, the atmosphere, the opponent. I mean, that's a little bit of something that this team will experience. I mean, honestly, maybe not even quite to that level, but you go down to Florida and face a team in Gainesville where you know there's going to be a good crowd on hand, and they're going to make some noise, and there will be a return trip to some of these other places. I mean, when think about going to Stetson later on in the year, or Liberty, and there will be some challenging environments the rest of the season, and get an early taste of that at home especially, and to get a chance to experience it in that kind of atmosphere has to be, you know, beneficial for this group to live and learn and grow from.
It's only going to help to go through this, and that's part of the reason we schedule the way we do, and that's what non-conference is for. Obviously, you want to win as many games as possible because you're fighting for that at-large at the end of the season. But the non-conference, first and foremost, is there to prepare you for your conference season. And we've got to be ready. We got to be ready for this. The east side of the A-Sun Conference this year in baseball is tough. It is going to be a tough weekend. You have to play your best every single day throughout the conference season, just to have a shot, because of the talent that's going to be on the east side, and we got to be ready, and we've got to learn to keep everything in check. I mean, this was a great test, and we're going to have the same thing this weekend. Troy's extremely talented. They've got it's a new coaching staff, and you know they've got some returning guys. They've got some returning guys on the mound, but it's going to be a great test for us to continue to get ready for that conference season.
Troy is the opponent, a team that, Jay, you saw last year, but I mean, I don't know how much you can honestly take from last year's series. Both teams feature a lot of new pieces, are playing a different type of baseball at this point, and last year was a tough trip for JU to go out there to Alabama, this time get a chance to host it. But are you throwing last year out the window? Are you trying to take anything from it, maybe on a few of the returners that are around for both sides?
We'll take a little bit from it. I'm going to try to. We had a lot of tough trips last year, especially early in the season. And you know, we're going to – obviously, we got some familiarity with some of their hitters. We got familiarity with some of their arms. But it's a new coaching staff, and you don't know exactly what – they're going to implement and how they've challenged their team and what kind of adjustments that they're going to make. So there is a little bit of familiarity there with some of the guys, but really we're going to take this on like a new opponent. Mm-hmm. And again, like I've talked about a couple times already this year, is, you know, it's, you can't really forget anything in this game. But you got to have a short memory, and our memory is going to be short when it comes to last year, especially February, March, and April. We just got to learn from that, but just move on and not go back to it very much, and because of the frustrations that we did have. But we'll We're going to attack this thing. That's what we've seen so far this year in the 22 season. I mean, these guys have done a great job of attacking the moment and not being mired in what's happened in the recent past, but really getting after it, and that's the way we'll go about it this weekend.
Yeah, I'll join you on forgetting about some of those early trips from last year, some of those early series, as they were somewhat forgettable. And the way this group is playing already, helping to erase some of the frustrations of the early part of last season as things are off to a nice start. What about Troy? What do they do well? What are you expecting to see from this group? They got off to a 4-0 start last weekend, sweeping Holy Cross at home, dropped their midweeker to Auburn. No shame in that, and an SEC opponent. But it should be a group that probably similar to JU, right? Feeling some things out, figuring out a little bit of their identity at this point in the year.
Yeah, I think they've got four, maybe five guys in the lineup that are returning, and those guys are very veteran. The guy behind the plate for them is a very polished, very highly regarded receiver, and you know, can swing the bat as well. And then, you know, they've got a couple guys in the lineup that we have to pitch to. And that's one thing we can take is just, you know, we've got to understand how we can attack those guys, and know when we'll take a chance on letting them hurt us and when we won't. And because they've got some power in that lineup as well that's returning. On the mound, they've got two of the three starters back, and both of those guys gave us fits last year. So we'll see if we can make any adjustments a little quicker this year. And just see, they're in a familiar environment last year. Now they come back to us. We're in a familiar environment. We'll see how we can handle them at our place and how they handle John Sessions and the environment that will be here this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. What I want to do with you this year as we work throughout this podcast is there's so many guys – bigger roster than ever. There's going to be different names each week that contribute on things, and we'll just spend our time because baseball is a sport of threes. So trying to highlight three guys in particular, so that way you don't have the onus of having to run through an entire roster and point out the guys that have been great, and we can hopefully recognize everybody that has major contributions throughout the course of the season. But I want to highlight a trio of newcomers this week that made statements early on in the season in this first four games of the year, and starting with a couple of guys on the mound. First and foremost, Blake Barquin, a true freshman, a big kid. I mean, a lot of people, when I was telling him on Tuesday night, I was like, yeah, that guy's a freshman. They're like, that kid is a freshman? I was like, yeah, I know. He's not built like one. But he went out there, he pitched twice this weekend, was really good in both outings. And I mean, he may have made a lifetime memory already with his performance against Florida State and earning the win in relief, and was absolutely dominant throughout much of that game.
And Blake is such a unique person. We're so fortunate to have him in our program. He's a multi-sport guy out of high school, played basketball. And at first glance, yeah, you just see he's a monster. But then he's also he's not necessarily the most fluid of athletes either. When you see him walking around and doing some of the stuff he's doing.
I figured he probably set up in the post.
Oh yeah,
when he was a basketball player. He wasn't pulling threes in transition.
No. I'm not sure he's going to play much for Jordan Mincy. I can promise you that. So, with what they've got on that court, but Blake's a guy with a high baseball IQ, extremely confident young man, and a very low heart rate. And what I mean by that is he doesn't. There's no situation that's too big. He doesn't take the adversity of the game when things go wrong, he doesn't take that to heart. He learns from it. And then he's been extremely receptive to Coach Edwards and some of the suggestions that he's made, and just buying into the system. And you've seen it. Obviously you've seen it on the mound. And that's kind of what you have seen. I mean, he's a strike thrower, multiple pitches, feel for a changeup, feel for his break and stuff. And he's just not scared. And if there's anything that you know, kind of epitomizes that anymore, would be what you saw Tuesday night against the Seminoles. And for him to come in and give us, I think he ended up giving us 11 outs, 3 2/3. And you know, we had a question on whether or not we were going to send him back out for the ninth when he got us to that point. And, you know, Coach Edwards and I looked at each other and we just kind of like, hey, man, he's rolling. He's got it going. And it's a pitch count is low. You know, we had used Tyler Vogel a couple times already, and let's run him back out there, see what we can get out of him. And he got us the big first out and then gave up the double, left the pitch up, and they did a good job with it, and then they turned it over to Vogel, and Vogel finished it. But, yeah, Blake has been a great addition to the pitching staff, but more importantly, a great addition to this team because he's a well-liked kid, and the guys really rally around him in that locker room.
You mentioned the low heart rate. It's something I noticed on Tuesday. I was watching him, especially later on in the game where the every pitch, every at-bat carried a little more weight to it as it got tighter and later. And I'm watching him breathe, and I'm going, you know, this guy's very much in control of himself right now. And that was very, very impressive to see. And what a performance and a well-earned win. And he got to let out some emotion and let that heart rate go up at the end of innings when he was getting out of spots and keeping them off the board, which was great to see. You mentioned another guy I wanted to highlight who we've seen already three times this weekend as part of a, you know, bullpen roles wide open this year, the way it shook out with some guys moving to different roles that were returners or graduating and moving on. Tyler Vogel comes in, has been, you know, three games in relief now, a couple of saves already and a win in relief. And so far, it seems to have embraced a little bit of his opportunity late in games.
Tyler is an unbelievable athlete. He's a guy that's come to us from East Florida State College, and he's actually out of the Dunedin area, originally out of high school. And he is a guy who takes his craft very seriously. He's a guy who understands how important it is from a rest standpoint, from what you're putting in your body, what kind of recovery lifts you're doing. He treats it. He's wise beyond his years from how he approaches and prepares for his, you know, for his performance. And it's been so refreshing to have him and then for him to be as receptive as he's been. Mm-hmm. He's really bought into Coach Edwards and what we're doing within this program. And you know, he's originally, we sign him and we think, okay, here's a guy who, he's electric. It's really good stuff. A little undersized, you know, so we felt really good about him getting on campus, even though he's a guy that can really run it up there pretty high in the 90s. And he gets here, and we're originally thinking about, okay, he's going to be a guy that's going to compete for a starting spot on the weekend. And he earned every bit of it. But then at the end of the fall meetings, he comes to us. And we, you know, we talk about this with every in our exit meetings. We talk in the fall. We talk about all the potential different roles that we can have and how we're going to fill them and forecast a little bit into the spring. And a credit to Tyler, he comes to us in that meeting and says, you know, Coach, I'll do whatever you need me to do. Do you want me to start? I'll start. But if you need me in the back end, you need me in the bullpen, I'll do it, and I'm going to be the best I can at it. So his willingness to be a great teammate is huge for us and fill whatever role that this program needs from him, because I truly believe that he could go out and start for us and give us quality starts. However, who's going to finish? Who's going to get that last out of the game? And you look up and this guy's been in the game now. We've played four games. He's been in three of them.
Yeah.
He's got a win and he's got two saves in critical spots. And he's been absolutely electric, resilient. And he's a guy who prepares, so we know that we're going to be able to rely on him throughout the entire year.
Yeah, great start for him. Can't wait to see what he's able to do the rest of the year and whatever role that ends up being in. As you mentioned, malleable and willing to do whatever it takes to win games, and he's already showcased that. Last guy I want to highlight here, another freshman who, sliding doors type of moment. I said it over the weekend. It was a slide and a finger injury, and next thing you know, Jonah Diaz is out in left field, and a guy making the most of a chance when it was presented to him. I mean, I know that there was, you're kind of figuring out who was even going to start out there on Saturday, and he gets the nod. What does he do? He drives in four that game and really has impressed in the early going. Just a true freshman out of Boca Raton and getting a chance here early due to an unfortunate circumstance with the injury to Eli Flowers. But, hey, you love to see a guy step up when their number gets called.
And he was one of our most consistent performers all fall in the spring. And you look up and it's who's the guy who brings it, who's the most consistent at the plate and gives us the most quality at bats on a daily basis. It's been Jonah. And he's a student of the game. He watches, he absorbs, he learns. And of course, he didn't spend one day in the outfield in the fall. He didn't. He for the first couple weeks of the spring, he would, you know, all we've been doing is working him at second, at short, and at third, because he's one of those versatile infielders that we've brought in. And you know, in preparing these guys for the way we're playing and the style that we play, We had him ready to play multiple positions in the infield, and then you look up and Brad Wilkerson and I were talking a couple weeks before the season started, and we're like, hey, we may need to get Jonah some fly balls in the outfield just in case we need to get him in, because it is a left-handed hitter that's extremely capable, that can drive the ball, and it's consistent and dependable. And sure enough, it's amazing, and I hated it for Eli. Dirtball Reed, the very first inning, he gets on base with a walk in the first inning of the first game, his first at bat, and first pitch to Ray Gill, and Dirtball Reed, and he goes, and bang, bang, it's second, and they punch him out, and you look up, and he let's not talk too much about that, but he ended up hurting himself pretty good. And, you know, but the good thing about Eli is I think he's not going to be too long out.
He's a tough kid.
Yeah, he's going to be back.
One of the toughest on the team.
Yeah, and he'll be back in the lineup pretty soon, so we'll have to figure out how that works out and how do we continue to, you know, and that's my job as the head coach, is to figure out where the pieces fit and how can we get them to work together. You know, but, you know, Jonah's stepped in, made the most of his opportunity, and it's not easy. You know, you got a freshman, stick him right in the two hole, and he hadn't budged. And he gives us consistent at-bats every single day. You know, he's prepared, and he's been pretty good in left for not having that much of an opportunity, not much preparation in left field. I know he played a little bit in high school, but it's a different beast out here at John Sessions with all that ground he's got to cover. So, you know, but he's been – I wouldn't say he's a surprise, because we know Jonah Diaz is a huge part of this program right now and our future. I mean, this guy is a piece that the Dolphin fans are going to hear about in our lineup for years to come. I'm just happy that they get a chance to see it right now and get excited about this young man who's a really special player.
You bring up here to close things out, you know, your job as the coach to figure out who goes where, what night. This group has shown already here some depth and some versatility. I mean, various pieces in various spots in both the order and the field over the first four games. And you know, where, when you look at the depth of this group right now, do you see strengths for this JU baseball team?
Tough at bats throughout the lineup. I mean, and really, I mean, Ray Gill and Christian Coypel, I mean, Ray's had some really big swings, and he's come up in some big spots and driven in some big runs for us, but he's still feeling for it a little bit, and Christian Coypel is still feeling for it a little bit. They haven't gotten off to the starts I know they wanted to. You get those two guys in the middle that can drive the ball out of any part of the yard going, I don't know how you navigate this lineup. I mean, with the guys that we've got at the top and the bottom of the pressure they're going to put on with their foot speed and then controlling the barrel and controlling their mindset when they're in the box, you get those two guys in the middle going, we could hurt you. You know, and that's what you see a little bit. I mean, that's what you see emerging with some of these guys and putting together the at-bats. And, you know, I love the fact that we've got the foot speed in the lineup that, you know, can put pressure on people, because that stuff, you know, I mean, it's the foot speed never takes a day off.
No.
You know, it's always going to be there. So that pressure is always going to be applied. You know, the hits are going to come and go, and, you know, but it's one of those, and there's a lot of pieces that we can use, and we've still got a couple guys that we've got to get in there that are going to be big pieces for us. We got some freshmen that we're still trying to figure out the right moment for them to get their opportunities and to do it. But, you know, this is exciting right now for what's going on and what we can do with this lineup.
No doubt. It's fun. It makes life a little more difficult for the guy who's got to make the starting lineup graphic on a gaming game out
basis. I'll take that problem, though.
But that is a good problem to have, and so far so good for this young, very young 2022 season, but can't ask for a much better start than a 4-0 beginning to it. Jacksonville.
And I do want to say this, you know, now we've got this, you know, we're off to a 4-0 start, and we're 4-0 at home, and a huge part of that is not only, I mean, the guys are playing well, and they're determined, but a huge part of that is the folks that have been coming out supporting this team. We've got great alumni, you know, following. They've been involved in coming out to the game. We've got great fan support and people that are just believing and following this program. And then the students have been amazing. The students have come out and supported this program and supported our guys. It's a fun time to be on campus at Jacksonville University, especially within the athletic department with what's happening. throughout the athletic program, you know, and what Coach Mincy's doing last night and how he's going to finish the season and what they could potentially do in the postseason, you know, carrying that momentum into our season. You know, I just can't thank those folks enough and just keep on coming out. You know, it's a great time. It's a fun environment. And I think it just adds to, you know, these guys, we're 4-0 because of the folks that have been coming out, not to mention our preparation and how we're playing, but because of those folks that are coming out and they're supporting us. So it's fun to play in front of those guys, and love to have them keep coming.
It's a community effort, and that's something I've talked with Coach Mincy about on his radio show, and it applies here as well. I mean, it is so much different when the community is behind you, and there's been a good buildup of community in the baseball world around this Jacksonville area for years with this program. But to see you know, some of the student base really showing out on a night-in, night-out basis, as well as just some folks that are just interested in what's going on down at JU right now, and hearing about some good times and some great environments and wanting to be part of that. And hopefully, you know, maybe some of those folks that had Garnet on Tuesday night will find some green and they'll come out the rest of the season too, because we know they live around here. Maybe they can adopt another team for the interim, the remainder of this season, and support the Dolphins some as well. But it'll be fun. Looking forward to this weekend when Jacksonville is back at home for a 3-game set against Troy, starting on Friday night at 6 o'clock. Coach, thanks for the time. As always, looking forward to another good weekend of baseball here at JU and at John Sessions Stadium.
Appreciate you, Scott.